Let's stand and worship this morning.
Savior lives. Come on. Come on. I want to welcome you this morning to Noble Assembly of God. And how many of you know there's people out there today that are chasing after things that are dead? They're dead ends. They're not serving a risen Savior. And yet we today are serving a Savior who came. He died on the cross for our sins. The scripture says that he resurrected and that he lives today, that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and he prepares a place that someday we're going to be with him. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning for this service. We thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do here. We thank you, Lord, for this Memorial Day weekend. We remember those who paid the ultimate price. But Lord, we thank you Jesus, that you died on a cross so that we may be saved, that we may be redeemed, that we may be delivered, and that we may be set free. And Lord, we ask right now that your presence would be in this place today. We thank you for every person who's made it here into the sanctuary. We thank you for every person who's watching online. And Lord, right now, we just dedicate it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.
When I look back through history and consider all the sacrifices in every war, and I try to grasp it all, come to grips with it, stand in reverence of all those willing to give their lives for something bigger than themselves, I am stunned by the sheer numbers. All those lives, all those families serving their country, I can't always comprehend it. My heart is not big enough to take it all in, that each one didn't come home. What they lost for their service, what we gained for their courage. Today, I stop to remember. Every single number is one soldier, one sailor who got up in the morning and put on a uniform, one Marine who answered the call to fight for freedom, one airman who knew the cost and went anyway, one man or woman who paid the ultimate price for many, and the freedom I live in now. Today, I remember.
It's not cliche to say that freedom isn't free. On this weekend, we honor those who paid the ultimate price so that we might have the freedom we live and enjoy every day. Some of you in this place have probably lost loved ones for the freedom that we enjoy. And so may we never forget to honor them. May we never think of Memorial Day weekend just as a weekend to hang out with family, although that's wonderful when it's a day and a weekend to remember those who paid that ultimate price. Amen? Amen. Amen. We want to welcome those of you today who are here visiting with us. Maybe this is your first time here. Maybe you've been here a couple of times, and we just want to welcome you once again. If you're a visitor or this is your first time, we'd ask that you take the card in the seat back in front of you and fill it out. Gives us a record of your attendance. And if you're online and this is your first time, you might just type in the comment box, first time, or I'm new here. And that way we'd be able to welcome you online also. And we just want to say thanks for coming to be a part of our service today on this awesome weekend. Want to remind you of a few announcements this morning. Next week, next Sunday morning, I'll be speaking. Pastor's going to be on vacation, and he and Miss Kara are going to be enjoying and celebrating their anniversary. And so in honor of your anniversary, congratulations, Pastor Steve, and condolences, Miss Carol. Thank you. Thank you. We all have a mission. Some are just bigger than others. So. Just teasing you, Pastor Steve. I love you. No, that wasn't a joke. I really do love him. I really do love him. I do love him. He makes me look good. So, so next week I'll be speaking, and then at June 13th, two Sundays from now, Mark and Susie Perkey will be here sharing with us. Usually, as you know, Mark comes and shares the Sunday right around Thanksgiving, and usually make the joke about Perky for turkey or whatever it is that rhymes. And but he's going to be sharing with us earlier this year in the year. And so want to make sure you're here. He's always has a tremendous message for us. There's some other announcements along here. We're having a bake sale that you can be a part of to help raise money for the Tractor for Trent project. The women's ministry of our church is doing a survey, and so you can either get a written one out in the foyer survey, or you can do it online, and they can share with you how to do that. And so we want to get some input and feedback. Camps are coming up. Thank you for those of you who have given some scholarship money for our kids to go to camp. If you're interested in doing that, I still have a couple of young people who want to go to camp, and we're working on trying to get some funding for that. And so if you're interested in that, you can come see me. And then missions trip, will you continue to pray? We're like 6 weeks out from our Denver missions trip. There'll be 40 of us going to minister in the inner city of Denver, Colorado. And it's going to be a tremendous time. And so we would appreciate your prayer. Thank you for those who have supported us as we've pushed towards raising the money to make that happen. And so we're excited about, man, it's just getting so close so quick. How many of you, it's just things just sneak up on you? You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, you know, your son's graduated and you're up here crying in front of the whole church. So anyway, we're going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 Want to say as we do that, hey, I've seen several of you already at the beach on vacation, and I'm happy for you. Just quit posting it on my Facebook, okay? I'm really struggling with jealousy right now, and so if you could just cut me out of those pictures, please. All right, let's pray with a tithe and offering. Lord, we thank you so much for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have blessed us with. And as we give cheerfully, we give in obedience. Most of all, we give with expectation, knowing, Lord, that what we could do with this money is so little compared to what you can do with it. And so we thank you right now that souls are going to be saved, lives are going to be changed, the church is going to be moved forward, the mission is going to be enhanced, and it's all going to be because of what you do through us in our giving. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going back into worship.
I read a story this week about a particular little group, a little choir group that was going to be doing the song, or they're doing the Apostles' Creed, which this next song we're to do is called the Creed. You know, I believe in God the Father, I believe in the Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit. And they had kids that would do, I believe in God the Father, and they'd hold up a placard. And then the next one said, I believe in Christ the Son. And they were supposed to do the song holding up the different placards. Well, as they looked around and they were getting ready to do it, one little boy held up his hand to the teacher and said, Teacher, I'm sorry, but the little boy who believes in the Holy Spirit isn't here. I don't want us to be like that as a church. I want us to believe in the Holy Spirit. We're a Pentecostal church. I hope we that believe in the Holy Spirit are here today. Amen. Amen. I thought that was the neatest little story. I thought as we go into this, I had to share that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our Father everlasting, all creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. Sing it out. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated.
Saints communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one.
In Jesus, we believe in the Father. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are the way maker today. You make a way. When we trust in you with all of our heart and we don't lean on our own understanding, and we acknowledge you in all of our ways, we know that you will make our path straight, that you will make a way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You believe in the way maker this morning? Let me see your hand if you believe in the way maker. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you.
See it, you're working, even
even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop,
one more time.
You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Who you are, that is 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 who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
Come on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're our way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Oh, Father God, we trust you today. We worship you, Lord Jesus. More and more. Lord, come and live in us and breathe in us. Fill us with your Spirit, O God, that we might be your voice, that we might be your mouthpiece, that we might be your voice to a generation that is so lost, a generation that is so consumed with materialism, so consumed with other things other than you. Oh, Father God, help us to not be that way. Fill us full of you, Lord. Full of you, Lord. That's our prayer. That's our desire. Touch us, we pray, God. Minister to us today and minister through us tomorrow. As we go into our world, oh Lord, I pray that we would go forth in the power and then the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray for every person who needs a touch in their body. We pray, Father God, for the lost. Lord, we know there are lost people in our world, in our families, in our community, in our school, in our workplace. We pray, Father God, that you would draw their heart to you and use us, Lord, to be the ambassador that you need us to be, the witness. Lord, touch our nation, touch our leaders. Lord, bring revival. Bring revival, bring another great awakening. Down through history, we've had different awakenings. Lord, we need another one. From coast to coast, from border to border, Lord, we need another awakening in our United States of America. Oh, Father God, bring our nation back to you, Lord. This nation that countless thousands have given their lives for on the battlefield, Lord, let it not be lost in this generation. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Thank you, Jesus. Use your church. Lord, empower your church to make a difference, to be salt, to be light. One more time, let's sing that chorus to the Lord, and let's just make it our invitation to the Lord for just to have his way in us today. Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your your voice to the Lord and give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your name, God. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We love you, Lord. Touch us, Lord, today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, musicians, singers. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. I would call this somewhat a sister message to the one last Sunday as we're continuing to talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift." Everyone say the gift. Sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Father, we thank you, Lord, today. I pray that you speak to us. I pray that you anoint me, your messenger, in the message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isn't this a beautifully wrapped present? Some of you, once again, were probably looking at what was on the side of the platform, like last week. It was maybe a little bit distracting. Think, well, what is that for? What are we going to do with that? How many of you thought anything like that? Like, what's that over there for? You liars. No. But isn't this a beautifully wrapped present? Do you wonder who it's for? Anybody wonder who it's for? Are anybody wondering who gave it? I can tell you who wrapped it. Marcia Gifford wrapped it for me. She did a beautiful job wrapping it. But this is a present for somebody. And how many of you like presents? Yeah, we like presents. And we like big presents, small presents. You know, we just like to get presents. Because somebody took the time to think about us and go out and pick out something that we could use or that we could employ in our life or maybe just enjoy. Enjoy and employ. I would say that's the two things we do with things people give us. We enjoy and we employ it in whatever way that it's meant to be used. Imagine, if you would, a young married couple. I went to a wedding yesterday. Actually, it was Friday. My nephew, Jake, my son, my brother Sean's son, got married. Jake and Elise got married on Friday. And we went to their wedding, and there was lots of beautiful gifts and things there. And so imagine, though, that a couple gets a gift and then they just leave it on the table and they don't ever go pick it up. They don't ever use it. They just leave it there on the table, unwrapped. Imagine what the giver of that gift would think. I mean, this friend of theirs that gave them this gift is all excited for them to receive this special gift. The person that gave the gift can't wait to see them open it and enjoy the wonderful gift they've been given. But just imagine the hurt and the disappointment that the giver of the gift would feel if it's just left there on the table and it's unopened and not enjoyed. I have to wonder if the Lord may feel that way when his children fail to unwrap and enjoy and employ the gift he has given, known as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You think the Lord, who gave that precious gift, when his church says, that's not for me, that's for the real spiritual people, that's for Pastor Steve, that's for those holy roller groups, we're not really into that, that's just not my cup of tea. And we leave a beautifully wrapped gift that's been given to us for enjoyment and for employment in God's kingdom left on the table unopened. Do you think the Lord is hurt by that? By our lack of acceptance and appreciation for a gift that he has given? Let me ask you this. Do you think that that affects the reaching of the lost? And do you think that the effect or the plan to reach the lost is greatly hindered because many Christians leave the gift on the table? You think there are people that could be in church today and their families worshiping the Lord and their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life and they're going to heaven, but some Christians who just don't really want to get that excited and close and filled with the Holy Spirit choose to leave that on the table, and so they're not in church and they're not worshiping God, their name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they're going to die and go to hell. Am I painting it pretty clearly today? I'm not trying to be unkind, but I'm trying to tell us about something that Jesus said was very important. So I want us to take another look at the gift the Lord promised today and see what we can do to be better followers of Christ. How many of you want to be a better follower of Christ? That should be all of us. Elliot, would you do me a favor and go get me another bottle of water? I don't know why, but I'm just so dry. Oh, thank you. Taking my trash too. What a good guy. Amen. I apologize when I have to take drinks of water, but if I don't, eventually I won't be able to talk. Don't you say amen. Yeah, we know how to shut him up. Don't get that water, Elliot. Don't get that water. First of all, this morning, let's look at the giver of the promise. The promise being the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit specifically. The giver of the gift. Thank you, Elliot. I'll dance at your next wedding. It's an old expression my dad always said. I don't know what it really is. Hey, I'll dance at your next wedding. So I don't dance, and he's not been married first time yet, so kind of goofy. The giver of the gift. To fully appreciate a gift, the recipient, it's helpful if they know the giver. Let's just say that. If you get a gift but you have no idea who it's from, it kind of loses some of the significance, unless it's $1 million or something. You don't care, you know. But normally if you get a gift, it's more appreciated and more enjoyed if you know that so-and-so went and gave you this gift and they picked it out and brought it to you and wrapped it and so on. So if a person doesn't know who a gift is from, it loses much of its meaning and appreciation. Jesus, I want to tell you, is the giver of the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gave it as a promise of power to win the lost. We read it a moment ago, Acts 1:8. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the other most parts of the earth. So Jesus is speaking. It's written and read there. He said, you're going to receive that. And earlier, up in verse 5, he said, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the baptizer. But Jesus is not alone in giving the gift. Here's how it works. The Father instituted the promise. The Son mediates and delivers it, and the Holy Spirit executes it. So let's look at each one of those for just a moment. Number one, the Father. Jesus the Father promised it in Acts 1:4. Also in Luke 11:13. He said in Acts 1:4, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. So Jesus promised it. In Luke 11:13, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, He used these words, God says, and then he went on to quote from the prophet Joel, where he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, your old men dream dreams, and so on. But he says, God says. And so the bottom line is, when we ask for the Spirit's power, when we ask for the gift, when we ask for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we are praying according to God the Father's perfect will. We don't want to pray out of the will of God, do we? We want to pray according to God's perfect will. So number one, the Father instituted or initiated it. Secondly, the Son mediates and delivers it to us. Jesus said in Luke 24:49, he said, wait for the promise. He said, go in Jerusalem and wait for the promise that he is going to send you. John the Baptist said, the baptizer said in Matthew 3:11, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so Jesus is the one who mediates or delivers the promise. Jesus' last words on this earth before ascending back to heaven were about the coming of the Holy Spirit's power to witness to the ends of the earth. You know, a person's last words are very important. When a person is about to die and go into eternity, it's really important if you're have the opportunity to be there with grandpa or mom or dad and you hear their last words. You know, it's going to be pretty important when they tell you their last words. Well, Jesus could have talked about a lot of things before he ascended back to heaven. He could have talked about how you need to love your enemies and how you need to love your brothers and the greatest of these is love. He could have talked about forgiveness. He could have talked about a lot of different things. But you know what he talked about? He talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we just read it in our text a moment ago. He said, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then the Bible says he lifts his hands and he ascends back to heaven. Those are the very, very last words Jesus said after 33 and a half years on this earth. That's pretty significant. Jesus' words were clear as he joined together the power of the Holy Spirit and the mission of the church. He joined together the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll receive power and you'll be witnesses. So the Father initiated the promise. Jesus delivered it. The Holy Spirit executes the promise. The Holy Spirit comes upon us and provides us the power to do God's work in the world. So each member of the Godhead is active in fulfilling the promise of Acts 1:8, the promise of power by and through the Holy Spirit. To do what? Why is the power of the Holy Spirit been given to believers? What's the reason for it? To reach the lost, to be witnesses. That's the reason for that. Next, let's look at the nature of the promise. Number two, the nature of the promise. Or we could say the nature of the gift. To fully understand and appreciate the Acts 1:8 promise of Jesus, we must understand its nature. It can be summed up in two words, priority and power. Priority, and we've already mentioned it a moment ago, it was Jesus' final words on earth. It's priority. It was a matter of priority. The most important thing of all was you receiving power to be a witness in your Jerusalem, in Noble, in the surrounding areas, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. God wants us as a church to be witnesses, to win the lost, to tell people about Jesus. So that was his priority. His disciples were to receive power and be witnesses locally and to the ends of the earth. Power. Acts 1:8 is a promise of power. Recently, there was a storm and a lot of trees were down. A lot of people did clean up. Back in the old days, they didn't have such a thing as a chainsaw. They had a handsaw, a tree saw. I bet you didn't see too many people cutting down big trees and big limbs with an old-fashioned handsaw. I bet they were using chainsaws. What do you want to bet? Aren't you thankful for the power of the chainsaw? So we can do things two ways. We can use the power that's been given, or we can go do it the old-fashioned way. Most of you drove this morning to church or rode in a car or a truck or maybe a motorcycle, Brother Sean back there. You got here on some kind of power-driven vehicle. I don't imagine too many people walked or rode their horse today. Aren't you thankful for power in our lives? We get things better, quicker, and faster when we use a powerful tool to do it. The same thing is true. Jesus said, I've got to go away because if I don't go away, the power source can't come, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he went away, and supernatural power came. The promise of power, as I said, is about witnessing. It's about winning the lust. It's not just about blessing or about purity or about a gateway to the gifts of the Spirit and new life. All those things are a part of it. But the main purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the main purpose of Acts 1:8, of us receiving power, is to be a witness. Supernatural power. Jesus described the Spirit's coming upon the disciples like clothing. In Luke 24:49, he says, and you shall be clothed with power from on high. It's almost like putting on a garment. You know, Elijah had a mantle. That's how he struck the river, and that was God's anointing as he struck the Jordan River and it parted. And so the idea of a power cloak or a power jacket, a power suit, that when you put it on, it gives you the supernatural ability to its wearer. Now, we in this age are familiar with comic strips and movies about characters of people who are ordinary and turn into these super people. Y'all remember Clark Kent? He turns into who? Superman. He goes in and he goes into a phone booth and he comes out Superman. Or Bruce Wayne is in the Batcave and he slides down the pole and immediately he becomes Batman. And those are all just, you know, comical cartoons and movies that we've known about through the years. But in a kind of a similar way, when we have the Holy Spirit's power, it's like we put on a cloak of power. We are endued with a power from on high. The prophets and the leaders of ancient Israel often experienced a coming of power upon them. It would come upon them, then it would leave. Remember the guy who was known to be the strongest man in the Bible? What was his name? Samson. You know, I don't really believe Samson was built like, you know, some Charles Atlas or Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of guy. I don't think he really looked that way. I think it was when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he gave him supernatural strength. Probably to look at him, he didn't look like he had all that. And other members of the Old Testament, Elijah, you know, had power. He would do all these miracles. Elisha did powerful miracles, twice as many as Elijah. I mean, Elisha had so much power still upon him. When he died, his body was tossed he was buried, and a soldier was, his body was cast over on Elisha's bones, and what happened? They came alive again. And so that was demonstrations of the Holy Spirit's power that came upon people in the Old Testament. One time, I think it was Elijah that ran ahead of a chariot all the way to some town. He ran as fast as the chariot. Now, you can't do that in normal human strength. And so the power of the Holy Spirit anointed Peter to preach, and Philip, and Stephen, and Paul, and different people in the Old and the New Testament. It's like a divine invasion from heaven. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 5 through 6, describe what happened when Saul, King Saul, experienced the Spirit of the Lord. It says, when you arrive at Gibeah of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is located, you will meet a band of prophets coming down from the place of worship. They will be playing a harp. a tambourine, a flute, and a lyre, and they will be prophesying. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord, say the Spirit of the Lord. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. Wow. Changed into a different person when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I talked about, I think it was Wednesday night, I mentioned a missionary couple that I had breakfast with last Monday, that his testimony was that when he became, he was a Christian, he became baptized in the Holy Spirit a few years ago. And after that, his whole idea of his future changed. God began working on him and planting a burden in him to reach the lost and to go and be a missionary. And so it's changed his whole life. Now, today, in 2021, this young missionary couple, middle-aged, actually, they're in their 40s. They have four daughters, ages like 11 down to 7, and they are going to Israel. They are going to be missionaries in Israel, all because God did something special and more powerfully in him when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit than before. I don't know if I can't put words in his mouth, but I kind of think had Matt McCumber not become baptized in the Holy Spirit and went on with his life and his work, he worked in the secular industry, had he done that, went to church, taught Sunday school, I think he'd have just kept on. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him and baptized him in the Spirit, all of a sudden it was like he was a new person. He had a new outlook. He had new goals and plans the Holy Spirit put inside of him. And we just approved in our board meeting Thursday night to start supporting them $100 a month. You'll get to hear them in November. They're coming on November 21st to share their testimony and tell about their mission. So some of you are thinking, well, see, Pastor Steve, that's exactly why I don't want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't really want to go to Israel or to, you know, Bangladesh and be a missionary. I read your mind. I read your mind. But you know what? Here's the deal. After Matt was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he became excited to go where God wants him to go. He wasn't like, oh no, I'm going to have to go to a foreign country and leave my parents and take my kids, my little four daughters over there. He was like, hallelujah, God, how do we get this going? You see, it's changed you on the inside. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to go be a witness in the land of the Bible in Israel, where only 1%, I believe I read this right. I think I read this right. I may be off on this statistic. Don't hold it to me. But I think I read that only 1% of the population of Israel are considered to be Christian, born-again Christ followers. In the land where Christianity began, a lot of them, they know the law. They can quote the Torah, and they know all about it. And you know what happens on their Sabbath? I mean, in Israel, there is probably more adherence to the commands in the Old Testament and to the rules of the Bible than we even have here in America, as far as on a nation-wise. I was in Israel in 2014. I got to take a trip there. And on Friday afternoons, when the Shabbat begins, Friday evening until Saturday, when you ride an elevator, you don't have to push the button. Because if you push the button as to what floor you're going to, that's considered work. And so the elevators stop on every floor so that you don't have to push a button. All life ceases. The businesses close. Everybody goes home to their family. They have a Shabbat meal. And we got to go to an Israelite Jewish family. Our team got to go to a Jewish family and be a part of their Sabbath celebration. It was the coolest thing. There was a team of about 12, 13, 14 of us. We gathered in this family home. And this Jewish family, they had three or four kids who were grown and married. There was an older family, older couple, and their kids all came in. And they were sitting around this huge table. And before they even begin the meal, the father gets up. And he goes to each one of his kids and he prays a blessing over them. He talks to them and encourages them, each one around the room. I thought, my goodness, and they don't even believe in Jesus and they're doing this stuff. We don't even do that here in America like that. And it's a great family time. I mean, it's every Friday night. This family's get together every Friday night. They get together, and he pronounces a blessing over every one of his kids. I just sit there in tears. I'm thinking, man, we're missing it. We talked about last week how Peter became a different person before and after Pentecost. Remember? Before Pentecost, he was denying the Lord. Even a little servant girl pointed her finger. You were with him. No, I wasn't. I don't want to repeat last week's message, but after Pentecost, he was bold. He stood up. He was in a sense, just like Saul and just like this missionary I just told about, he was almost changed into another person. He stood up and said, this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, and he preached a powerful message, and he became a powerful leader in the church. Well, guess what? The Lord still changes hearts today in that way through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But hear the words of Jesus in John 7 and verse 37 and 38 and 39. Listen to this. John 7, 37 says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is what? Thirsty. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Or the NIV, and I believe the King James says, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. When he said this, living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. It wasn't time for the coming of the Holy Spirit at that point. But Jesus was prophesying, there's going to come a day when the Holy Spirit comes, that if you are thirsty and you believe in me and you go after me, that I will come over and fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. It'll be like rivers of living water come out of you. Rivers of life come out of you. The prerequisite for receiving that type of experience is what? Thirst. When we get so thirsty for that nothing else matters, we will experience it. But if we are content with kind of things as they are, and we don't want to rock the boat too much, and we're kind of happy with our life here, and we don't want to really get too excited about everything, then the Lord will just let us go on and live that way. And a lot of people that could be affected by our anointed ministry of the Holy Spirit upon us will die and go to hell because we didn't obey what the Lord said. We have to be thirsty. And I'm preaching to Steve Lance today. I said, Lord, make me more thirsty. Lord, help me to be more thirsty for your presence, for your power, for the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't want to just do it in Steve Lance power. I want to serve you in Holy Ghost power. I don't want to sing with Steve Lance anointing. I want Holy Spirit anointing. I don't want to preach with Steve Lance anointing. I want Holy Spirit anointing. I don't want to be a dad and a husband and a grandpa with Steve Lance anointing, because Steve Lance anointing isn't very good. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. Are you thirsty? Are there rivers of living water flowing from our hearts? And that brings me to my last point, number three, the receivers of the promise or the gift. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you will receive power. You. Now, who was the you? Well, initially it was the disciples, those who heard him on that day, who he spoke to, those who had left all to follow him, those disciples in the early church. And some would say, there are some groups that say, and yes, that's right, and it was just for them, and then it quit. It was just the early church, just to sort of get the early church jump started. The Holy Spirit was given to them to do all the signs and wonders and speak in tongues and languages that they didn't know, so that people would hear it. And then it ended after the days of the apostle. It all stopped. Well, that really seems a little narrow, and since immediately after the outpouring of the day of Pentecost, Peter universalized the promise to include all who have been called. Acts 2, 38 and 39. Peter replied, Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. And Joel's prophecy was, even on your handmaidens, everybody will be filled with the Spirit, not just a select few here and there. Every believer is a witness, and every believer needs the supernatural, God-given power of the Holy Spirit to be that witness. Let me say that again. Every believer is a witness, right? Every believer is a witness. You're either a good or bad witness. You witness to the Lord either way. And every believer needs the supernatural, God-given power of the Holy Spirit to be that effective witness. Missionary Denny Miller, he has written several books about the Holy Spirit. I've been studying some of his material. He said this, any follower of Christ who wants to be more fully used by him to spread the message of God's love to their neighbors next door or to the multitudes around the world can be empowered by the Spirit. Any follower of Christ who wants to be more fully used by him to spread the message of God's love to their neighbors next door or to the multitudes around the world can be empowered by the Spirit. It's a matter of asking, receiving, and speaking. Number one, we ask in faith. You say, well, how do I get that? How do I... receive the baptism of the Spirit. I'm a believer. I've been saved. I've been saved for 10 years or 8 years or 20 years or 40 years, but I've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, number one, ask in faith. Remember, God is more anxious to give you the baptism in the Holy Spirit than you are to receive it. He's probably up there again, man, it's about time. Thank you for asking. Yes, I want you to have the power to be my witnesses. So we must sincerely and confidently pray a little prayer like this. Lord, I believe your promise. I believe that if I ask for the Spirit, you will give me the Spirit. So right now, in Jesus' name, I ask you, give me the Holy Spirit and empower me as your witness. Simply ask. Say, God, I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to be a better witness. I want to reach people for Christ, and I can't do it in my own strength. I chicken out. Help me to be a better on-fire witness. Believe that God is hearing your prayer and you ask. You know, if we're going to ask God, we have to believe that he hears us. Otherwise, we're doubting in our heart. We need to believe that he hears us. And then believe God at that very moment is baptizing you, Jesus actually, in the Holy Spirit. And then number two, first ask in faith. Number two, receive by faith. Receive it by faith. Now, somebody say, oh, it's not an it. No, hear me. And I know the question about the Holy Spirit is not an it. You're right. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is a person. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power is an it. Okay? The Holy Spirit, you're baptized, but the power that comes is an it. And the Spirit gives us that power. And so the it is the act of baptism in the Spirit. So when you sense the Lord's presence, then if you've asked, say, Lord, I believe now that I'm receiving that. I'm full of the Spirit. And then thirdly, what's the third and initial physical evidence of someone being baptized in the Holy Spirit? They speak in an unknown language. They speak in tongues. There are other evidences that come along, but that is the main one. As the Spirit enables, you speak out in faith. From your heart, through your lips, you speak out. You won't understand what you're saying, but it doesn't matter because it's coming from within you. The Holy Spirit is giving you that enablement and that empowering to be able to do that. He's empowering you to be his Spirit-anointed witness. Following being baptized in the Spirit and speaking in an unknown language, you will then have more boldness and power to speak in your known language. Let me say that again. Following being baptized in the Spirit and speaking in an unknown language, you will then have the boldness and the power to speak more in your known language. Just like Peter on the day of Pentecost. He spoke in tongues when the Holy Spirit was poured out, just like the other 119. But then later he got up and he spoke in English, or not English, he spoke in Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic, whatever he spoke in, probably Hebrew, Aramaic. He spoke in his native tongue, his normal tongue, to the crowds under the anointing of the Spirit. The same Spirit who came upon you and enabled you to speak in a language you did not know will now come upon you again and again. On occasions, while in worship or in personal prayer, you will speak in tongues. On other occasions, while out in the world, you will speak in your own language and tell people about Jesus. Hear this. Either way, it will be the Spirit who anoints and enables your speech. I'm glad the Holy Spirit is not just about speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit is primarily about the power to speak in my normal tongue to people that are lost, to my classmates who are lost, to my coworkers who are lost, to my children or my neighbors or my friends who are lost. The power and the boldness to not really care what they say, because this is life-changing words. Now you need wisdom and you need tact, and the Holy Spirit will help you say it in a right way. You don't want to be browbeating somebody. You know, the Holy Spirit not only can give you what to say, he can give you how to say it. How many of you know you've got to be received? And the Holy Spirit will help you do that. Conclusion as musicians come. Are you ready to open God's gift and unwrap it? Say, wow, God gave me a gift. And Jesus wants me to have this, and he's given it to me, and the Holy Spirit's given me this gift so that I can have more power to be a witness. Wow, I want to open that gift. No, I'm not going to open it, because you know what's in here? Nothing. Air. But you can't see the Holy Spirit either. But he's here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, the Lord is in the midst. And Jesus is the one that's the baptizer. Are you ready to open God's gift and unwrap the promise? The Lord and the world. Let me say this. The Lord and the world is waiting. It's not just something that you can get like when you were in scouts. You got different awards. You got the bear badge and the wolf badge and the arrows. Or if you're in rangers, you get different merits. So you can get all these things to pin on your lapel. Well, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pin that little pin right here. It's not about that. It's about the power to tell people about Jesus. That's what it's about. Father, I pray right now that you would help us to have a hunger and a thirst. Lord, really, that's the only prerequisite besides salvation that we need, is just to be hungry for you. You said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Lord, I pray that you create a thirst in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits to be who you want us to be, God. Empower us, Holy Spirit. We're going to sing a couple of songs here. And as we sing, this is the altar call. If you are hungry, thirsty for more of the Spirit's work in your life, I would just invite you to come as we sing and kneel at this altar and say, God, fill me up. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Ask in faith. Lord, you said it's a gift for me. I want more power in my life. And say, Lord, I thank you. I receive it. Just speak out his praise. We're going to begin to sing, and as we sing, I would like for you to just open your heart and your mind to the Lord. Find a place to pray and say, God, fill me with your Spirit, with your power, even if you've already been filled before. It's not a one-shot thing. It's a continual hungering and thirsting for what God wants to do in your life. Come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now. I need your anointing, come in your power. I love you, Holy Spirit, you're captivating my soul. And every day I grow to love you more. Come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now. I need your anointing, come in your power. I love you, Holy Spirit, you're captivating my soul. And every day I grow to love. Spirit and in truth. Come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now. I need your anointing, come in your power. I love you, Holy Spirit, you're captivating. Spirit and in truth, I'm reaching for your heart. You hold my life in your hands, drawing me closer to you. I feel your power renew. Nothing compares to this place where I can see you face to face. I worship you in spirit and in truth. I'm reaching for your heart. You hold my life in your hands, drawing me closer to you. I feel your power renew. Nothing compares to this place where I can see. Spirit and in truth, I'm reaching for your heart. You hold my life in your hands, drawing me closer to you. I feel your power renew. Nothing compares to this place where I can see you face to face. I worship you in spirit and in truth. Nothing compares to this place where I can see you face to face. I worship you in spirit and in truth.
you in spirit and in truth. One more time. Oh, I worship you in spirit and in truth. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it, it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly with your love, and for these blessings we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Sing again. There's a sweet, sweet Spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. In praise, without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you today, God. Lord, I pray that you just increase our desire, increase our thirst and our hunger for more of you. Lord, we just praise you, Lord, this morning for this Sunday, and we pray, God, that you continue to help us draw nigh unto you. Would you stand with me this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands and say, God, I need you. Would you say that with me? Lord, I need you. Lord, we need you today. We need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. We know so much that we need you. We're living in difficult hours, difficult days, as the Bible said would happen in the last days. And Lord, we need all the power of heaven that we can get, all of the anointing that we can get. Oh, halabakosha da da bakata. Jesus, 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 touch us, we pray. Praise your name, God. Praise your name, God. Just wait for a minute here, just to the Lord's presence. I just sense the Lord saying, just hold on for a second. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, you must increase. We must decrease. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through the gifts of the Spirit, through the word of prophecy today. Spirit-anointed speech. Lord, we wait in your presence. Praise your name. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, let your will be done. Let your will be done, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Just worship the Lord. Just turn your heart and your eyes and your face toward the Lord and worship him. The Lord seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. We worship you, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. We worship you. Holy, holy, holy are you. Oh. Interpretation. The Lord just spoke through the gift of tongues. We need the gift of interpretation.
I want you to be aware, and I want you to be observant, and I want you to see that the things that happen today, the things that I am doing around you, in the lives of those that you love, and the lives of those all around you, the things that I am doing are intended to turn you towards me and to turn them towards me. Fear not for the things that are happening, but see them as an opportunity to draw unto me. See them as an opportunity to tell others about me. See them as an opportunity to be ready for whatever comes. For I have not left you alone. I am with you. I have not left you powerless. I have not left you without love. I have not left you in fear, but I have left you with my Spirit.
Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to this body today. Oh, Lord, that we would hunger and thirst after you more than at any other time in our life. You have so much you want us to accomplish. There are people that we come in contact with every day that are lost, that need to know that Jesus loves them. And Lord, we are the ones to tell them. We are the witnesses that you have left here, that you will use in building your church and building your kingdom. Lord, help us to be available. Help us to wait on you that we might be filled with your anointing, with your wisdom, with the gifts of the Spirit, that we can flow in that to, in order to flow to out to others. Oh, Jesus, we need you. We need you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Fill me, Jesus. Fill me, Jesus, with your power. Fill me with your Spirit, oh God. Is that your prayer today? Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing that little song. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. Oh, and then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Sing it one more time. Lift your hands to the Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Yes, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Oh, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. One more time. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a hand of prayer. Hallelujah. Go and have a blessed day.